Lord, we pray for your continued blessing and anointing upon us as we grow and deepen in the gift of your Spirit. Pray, Lord, that you bring forth many gifts to enable us to carry out your mission and ministry, to grow us as the body of Christ. Release your gifts tonight more and more in our lives. Help me to break open your word to your people, Lord. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So does anyone here get disturbed by relationships with others? Do other people disturb you? It's their fault, it's not yours. Yes. Do other people disturb you, Gabriel? Yes. They interrupt you and take away your peace. It's their fault, you know. It's not you. It's people. It'd be okay if it was just me in the world. I'm loving. I love myself. There's a song about that, isn't it? Go and love yourself. Go and love yourself. So, yeah. Someone like that. So, I live in a community, and the community would be good, would be perfect if it was just me. But I have to live with other brothers, and they're imperfect. So the reality is, you know, I'm giving a very false understanding of love here, aren't I? You're probably sitting there thinking, God, he's on himself. I'm right, aren't I? There we go. You see, it's impossible to love without the presence of others. God, if God was just absolute power, who does God love?
Everyone.
If God, if there's no one created before we existed, before creation, who did God love? But God is love. That's the truth. God is love. God has always been love. So who did God love before creation? Before anybody, before creation, God is love. And love is a relationship. I have to be the lover, the beloved, and the love between the beloved and the lover. True? So, see, we talk about our relationships, our community, in terms of, you know, we identify ourselves as a daughter or a son, a friend, a colleague, an enemy, in relation to others. But I also exist outside that relationship, don't I? That if I'm not in relationship with friends or my mother or father, my community, I still exist, don't I? But that's not so with God. God is Father and only exists as Father in relation to the Son. And the Son is only Son in relation to the Father. And the love between the Father and the Son is the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit only exists because of the relationship with the Father and the Son. You get it? So God is pure relationship. Is it any wonder that we who are created in the image and likeness of God are such social beings and affected by relationship? So this expression of how we see God as three persons but one in this unity of love reflects our community. You know, all Christian community is birthed out of the triune God. Jesus draws a community around him. And his spirit manifests to us, enables us to experience the presence of Jesus and the love in the heart of the Father that Jesus came to reveal, the merciful heart of the Father. And the gifts that God gives us, the gifts of the Spirit, are not little packages, sort of packaged out. They're actually manifestations of the Spirit. Paul says there's only one Spirit. There's a variety of gifts, but it's one Spirit. It's not little packages, little gifts wrapped up, what we often talk about. It's the Spirit. It's the one Spirit who's manifest in the community. The community draws out the gifts of the Spirit. I can't live in isolation with gifts of the Spirit. It's actually the body of Christ. I need the body of Christ to understand what the gifts of the Spirit are. They're actually the expressions of God's love. God is, trusts me so much that he calls me into the mission and ministry of Jesus. And he gifts me to share in that ministry and mission of Jesus. There's a line here where Jesus says, everything the Father has is mine. Is for us too. Everything the Father has is mine. Can you say that deep in your hearts? All that the Father has is mine. He gave it to us because he gives us his Spirit. Not a little bit of his Spirit. He gives the totality of his Spirit, doesn't he? As he pours out his Spirit upon us, and he makes that Spirit manifest in various ways in our community. And he makes that known through the gifts of the Spirit. We have a great opportunity here through the community that gathers around here, the 7 p.m. Mass. We have great opportunities to grow in the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, where we expect God to speak and to touch into our lives and unfold the desire of God's heart and mind for us. That people would speak confidently out what God wants to do in this community. He uses people, not everyone, but he uses people. But Paul does say, I'd love everyone to prophesy. So at various times he will call on anyone and everyone at particular times to prophesy. We have people who discern gifts. They discern the gift of the Spirit, discern prophecy. That's another gift. People who have wisdom. People who can describe and understand the things of God and apply it to people's lives, and people wear out their doormats. We have over here people who exercise hospitality every Sunday night. They don't get worn out by it because it's a charism. It works. I know I've got a charism because I don't wear out. I know people who've given the prophetic word and continue to do so faithfully for over 30 years. Why? Because it's a charism. It's effective. It works. It can never be used for evil. It's always effective for achieving the kingdom of God, for the things of God, for godly purposes. Charism, because it's the Holy Spirit, can never be used or be evil. I can hinder it. I can cause it to be blocked. But then I'm no longer moving in the Spirit, am I? I can be moving in the flesh. So the call upon us as we grow, as we open ourselves up to the Spirit, is to then discern the gifts of the Spirit. We've each been given gifts from our baptism. Now, I might desire all sorts of gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. Usually people desire to be healers. A lot of people aren't. How do I know? Because no one's ever healed when I pray with them. That's nothing wrong with that. It's just not the gift that the Spirit wants me to have. I can pray for it, that's fantastic. And sometimes I might actually pray for people that aren't healed, but it might not be the gift charism that God has given me. How am I going to discern that? How am I going to understand that? How am I going to grow in the gifts of the Spirit? We see in the early church, don't we? That as people heard the gospel, and as they responded to it, and as they opened their hearts to the Spirit, and as the Spirit came down upon them, they were drawn together, we're told. They were faithful to the teaching of the apostle, to the gathering together, to the breaking of bread, to prayer, to community. And they shared everything in common. They were radical because the Spirit had drawn them together around Jesus. And it was in that context that they continued to grow as the people of God with and their giftedness was drawn out, the gifts of the Spirit. That's where we grow. That's where the gifts of the Spirit become manifest, and that's where we get discerned, we identify them, we come to understand them, we develop them, and we use them. Not only just in the body of Christ, but everywhere. Because we're told that in the Acts of the Apostles, there are all sorts of people encountering people on the road, in the temple, you know, on the way to the temple, sick and lame and poor and people who are possessed by spirits. And we know the apostles and the early disciples were moved by God's Spirit, each with different gifts, ministry. And people through those gifts, through those ministries, were drawn to Christ and drawn into the community. St. Pope John Paul II wrote an encyclical about this call to communion for mission and mission for communion. That as we reach out and as we call people to Christ, they need to be able to see physically present. That is in a body, in a community of people. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And the glue of that community is something of what the Pope's touching on this year, the mercy of God. Because we're broken vessels. And we know people have moved and an openness to the charisms for many years. You can kind of sit on them. They can fade. Speaking to a woman recently who had a visit from somebody, a person who travels a lot teaching on intercessory prayer, and they came and prayed with her, and they just prayed over her in tongues, and this person felt that this person needed to be to recapture and be renewed in the gift of tongues. And as this person started to again to open up to and to pray in the gift of tongues, I could hear the visible, well, not the visible, but the audible difference in this person's voice. That was a gift given. You know, to pray and to use the gift. When we can't pray, we don't know how to praise God, to step out and to use this gift of the Spirit. So there are many gifts of the Spirit. We don't know how many characters there are, actually. There's one group that has done a lot of research on this that thinks that there's at least 24 charisms that they can easily identify. People have done the Called and Gifted program. I know of those. But really, we don't know how many there are. But what we do know is that it's in the context of the community that the gifts are recognized, identified, nurtured, and then developed and have an effect in our world. But to be a community requires, what was that word? Committed. If you want to empty your room these days, just mention the word commitment. Just mention the word commitment. And watch people just go for the doors. But we're not of that kind. Jesus calls us to commitment. Calls us to grow in relationship with one another, to be committed to his call and to the community that he calls us to. Very early on, Jesus gathered the disciples around him. And when he sent the Spirit, they gathered into communities. When Paul was converted, he went around and began communities. We have all his letters, don't we? The epistles, where he writes to communities. And he was calling them to commitment. It was there that they would imitate the life of Christ, his life, his death, and resurrection, yes, through relationships with one another. They would experience both the passion and death and resurrection, the kairos, the joy of that community existence. So we're called to that. Any effective ministry of Christ, it comes out of committed community, where people have done the hard yards with one another and they've learned to accept the faults and bear with the faults of one another patiently, and still God uses people powerfully and the charisms he's given. It doesn't depend on our holiness. However, the effectiveness of the use of the charisms is affected by our holiness and our preparedness to live that openness and that surrender to God. So I want to invite you tonight that if we're to grow and continue in the gifts of the Spirit, if we're to grow and continue in the life of the Spirit, it's not an easy life. You can easily settle down and become comfortable. You can easily be a fellow traveller. You can easily be a visitor. Come and go, pass through. But never actually and engage in that word and with that word commit. And this is where the enemy of our soul is masterful in undermining commitment or making people feel like they're not part of the community or a community. And that's why we need the community. Because they're constantly calling us more deeply into relationship with one another. That's where we experience the power of God's Spirit. That's where we enter more deeply into the triune heart of God. So tonight, as we open ourselves to the Spirit, let's also open ourselves to the various gifts that God wants to manifest tonight. I believe there's gifts of words of knowledge. What's a words of knowledge? Would be a sense of God speaking into the life of somebody whom I don't know, but only God could know what's going on in that person's life. And I will know as I hear that word spoken that the prophetic word would continue to grow here. We have a great gift of the prophetic word here each Sunday night, but that would continue to grow and deepen. That people would be renewed in the gift of tongues or have a new tongue or be released in tongues. Be released in a new praise of God. That people would grow in wisdom to be able to know how to discern and understand problems and to know how God works in those situations. Administration and hospitality and service and help. There's all these gifts that God wants to release in us and that are in us. Each one of us has gifts. We don't all have all the gifts. No one. One of the things they say about the gifts of the Spirit is that we always feel like we're in the minority. Why? Because we are, in a sense. Because we're part of a body and we all have different gifts. But we need one another to draw out those gifts and to be effective for the kingdom of God.